Hello, everyone. This is Dan Sheridan with Cross and Throne Ministries. Thank you for joining me today, and I'm just going to jump right into our topic here. You've been following along. We're in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, and I'm going to go back and recap everything we've discussed, except this time I'm going to do it using the Concordant Version. It's a literal translation of the New Testament. So Ephesians chapter 1, and we've called this the Charter of the Church, especially in verses 3 to 14. In Ephesians chapter 1, we read in verse 1 and 2, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus through the will of God, to all the saints who are also believers in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to notice a couple things. First of all, the name Paul. The word Paul, Paul's name means interval. And I think that his name matches his ministry. Paul's ministry takes up the interval between Israel's rejection and their reception. Israel was set aside through the book of Acts, and then they will be taken up again in the future after the day of the Lord, the day of indignation. And between that period is the time that Paul's ministry fills up. So Paul's ministry is for today. Paul's letters are addressed to the body of Christ, and he's the one who tells us what the message is for today. So Paul fills up the gap between Israel's rejection and their future reception. So Paul is an apostle of Christ Jesus. Now that term is interesting. Only Paul uses the phrase Christ Jesus because it's in reference to the exalted one who was once humbled. It's referring to the ascended Christ, and Paul is the apostle of the risen and ascended Christ. Peter and the 12 apostles were apostles. They were chosen by Christ on earth. Well, the apostle Paul was chosen by the risen and ascended Christ. And there's a difference, and that makes all the difference in their ministry as well. Paul's message was the evangel of the glory of Christ and things connected with his role among the celestials. So Paul is an apostle of Christ Jesus through the will of God. And again, Paul's the only one who has to say this. Peter doesn't have to say it because he had to constantly show that his ministry was divinely appointed. And it was different than that of the 12. And it says, to all the saints who are also believers in Christ Jesus. Now, a saint is one who has put their faith in Christ and his atoning death. If you believe that Christ died for your sins, was entombed, and roused again the third day according to the scriptures, you're a believer, you're a saint. But notice it also says, who are also believers in Christ Jesus. Well, what does this mean? That means that they had faith in the risen, ascended Christ and the things associated with that. Paul wrote to the Corinthians. Now, the Corinthians believed in Christ and him crucified. But because of their carnality, because they were involved in denominational Christianity, they were choosing leaders. You know, they followed this man or the other based on their abilities. And that's what we have today. People choose their churches based off the ability of one man, which is really unbiblical. They choose their church based off a pastor. And pastors love it. They love to be exalted. But Paul said those kind of people weren't ready for the teachings concerning Christ and him glorified. They knew Christ crucified, but they didn't know Christ glorified. And so these believers, these saints, were also believers in Christ Jesus. In other words, they believed the teaching concerning the secret of Christ and the secret concerning this present administration. And that is going to be unfolded in this letter to the Ephesians. And it goes on, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. God is our Father, and Jesus Christ is our Lord. Now, it goes on in verse 3. Now, we pointed this out in other places. In verse 3 to 6, we have the Father's purpose. In verse 7 to 12, we have the Son's work of redemption or deliverance. And in verse 13 and 14, we have the Holy Spirit of promise. So we have the Father's work followed by the Son's delivering work. And then, we have the Father's purpose in verse 3 to 6, the Son's deliverance in verses 7 to 12, and then we have the Spirit, the promised Spirit of verse 13 and 14. And so we'll go through this as we see. Now, in verse 3, we see this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blesses us with every spiritual blessing among the celestials in Christ. Now, notice the word blessed. In the Greek, it means to speak well of. Paul starts off Ephesians by speaking well of God. He's praising him. He's saying, speak well of the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, so many have a view that prayer is just when we come to God and ask Him for things. But, you know, just because you don't have anything to pray about or ask God for, it doesn't mean we should stay away. Sometimes we should just look up to our Father in heaven and bless Him and thank Him and speak well of Him, brag about Him because of all that He's accomplished on our behalf. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, let me stop by saying this. This is going to go contrary to orthodoxy. Our Lord Jesus has a God and a Father. The Lord Jesus said in John 20 that He ascends to His Father and our Father, to His God and our God. That's His language. He says, "My Father and your Father, my God and your God." Well, the Lord Jesus Christ has a God and a Father. Scripture says so. The Lord Jesus Christ is not the Father. He is not the Father, and the Father is not the Son. And we need to be careful in the language. Stick with the language of Scripture concerning God and His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blesses us with every spiritual blessing, not flesh and blood blessings, but spiritual blessing, with every spiritual blessing among the celestials in Christ. It's among the celestials in Christ. Now, these blessings are spiritual. And in Ephesians 6, we read this. If you turn to Ephesians 6, we read this in verse 12 through 13. Paul says, that is, "It is not ours to wrestle with blood and flesh." You see the term blood and flesh? "But with sovereignties, with the authorities, and with the world mights of this darkness, with spiritual forces of wickedness among the celestials." So here we're not wrestling with flesh, blood and flesh, but with spiritual forces of wickedness. So sometimes this term spiritual, the opposite is blood and flesh. In other words, you and I, our blessings cannot be measured with a bank account today. That doesn't mean the food we eat and the house you live in and the car you drive isn't a blessing from God. We acknowledge it. We thank God for these things. But Paul here is talking about our blessings that are not connected with this earth. We have spiritual blessings. And in verse 13, we have a seal. Our seal is with the Holy Spirit of promise. Abraham had a physical seal because he had physical promises. But this is a spiritual seal because the blessings we have are spiritual. So our blessings are spiritual and our seal is spiritual, as we're going to see when we get down in this verse. So He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing among the celestials. Now, in Deuteronomy 28, it lists the blessings that are for Israel. And in Deuteronomy 28, we read this, and I'm turning there in my concordant Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 28, and this is what it says. "It will come to be, if you should hearken, yea, hearken to the voice of Yahweh your Elohim, to observe and to obey all His instructions which I am enjoining on you today, that Yahweh your Elohim will give you supremacy over all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings will come on you and overtake you in case you should hearken to the voice of Yahweh your Elohim." Now, just in case they should hearken. I like how it reads there. It says, "Blessed be you in the city, and blessed be you in the field. Blessed be the fruit of your belly, the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your beast, the calving of your domestic animals, and the lambing of your flock. Blessed be your basket and your kneading trough. Blessed be you in your coming in, and blessed be you in your going forth. And Yahweh shall make your enemies who are rising against you to be struck down before you." In other words, Israel's blessings are associated with physical things. And you can see in Israel's day, if Israel was poor and hungry, it was a sign that they were disobedient to God. Well, you and I, dear friends, are blessed with all spiritual blessing among the celestials, and they cannot be measured with a bank account, and they are already ours in Christ. Did you hear that? Israel was going to get them through obedience, but you and I have them now by virtue of being in Christ. It has nothing to do with our acts. It has nothing to do with what we do. So He's chosen us in Him. He chooses us. We didn't choose Him, dear ones. We did not choose Him. He chose us, members of His body, in Him, in Christ, before the disruption of the world. And that means His choice of us was not influenced by sin, because this choice was before the disruption of the world. We'll talk about disruption in a minute. So He chose us in Christ before the disruption of the world. That was before you and I were born, before we had done anything good or evil. God made a choice. So His choice of us was not influenced by sin, or goodness for that matter. His choice of us was something that was motivated in his own heart, and that's where he found his desire to choose us, because of his love for us. He's chosen us in him before the disruption of the world. Now, there's phrases that say from the disruption of the world, and there are phrases that say before the disruption of the world. Now, I'm going to give these phrases, I'm going to give you the references, and I'm going to let you look them up on your own. Now, the phrases from the disruption of the world are found in Matthew 13, verse 34 and 35, Matthew 25, 34, Luke 11, 49 to 51, Hebrews 4, 3, Hebrews 9, 26, Revelation 13, 8, Revelation 17, 8. So all the phrases that are from the disruption of the world are found in those passages. Go up and look at them, and you'll see they have nothing to do with the church or the ecclesia, which is his body. Now, there are only three times this phrase before the disruption of the world takes place, and it's found in John 17:25, where the Lord Jesus says that the Father loved our Savior, loved the Lord Jesus before the disruption of the world. And in 1 Peter 1, verse 19 and 20, the Lord Jesus is a lamb slain, flawless, before the disruption of the world. So the Lord Jesus is loved before the disruption of the world, and he's flawless before the disruption of the world. And we're going to see here in Ephesians 1, those same terms that are used of the Lord Jesus Christ are applied to the church, which is his body, because we were chosen in him before the disruption of the world. And if you and I are flawless and holy, it's because of our being in Christ. God sees us in Christ. So he's chosen us in him before the disruption of the world, we to be holy and flawless in his sight. Now that word holy is interesting, and when we think of the word holy, let me remind you once again, do not think of church steeples and vestments and robes and choirs and pulpits and all those marble statues as nothing to do with holiness, friends. Holiness, whatever it is, it's lovely because God is holy, and it has to do with his person and character. And the word holiness has the thought of a family atmosphere. There's a family atmosphere when you think of the word holiness. And I'm going to read you one verse here, and it says here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12, "Now may the Lord cause you to increase and superabound in love for one another and for all, even as we also for you, to establish your hearts unblameable in holiness in front of our God and Father." Now notice that love equals being established in holiness. So love and holiness go together. And Paul goes on and says, he's chosen us in him before the disruption of the world, we to be holy and flawless in his sight. We are flawless in his sight. Think of God, the great God who knows sin to the core. And in his sight, we are holy and flawless. Why? Because we're so good? No, but because we're in Christ. Now, we're going to continue. Now, those of you who've been listening, I'm just going back over these things again, so be patient. It's worth repeating. This time, I'm using the Concordant Version for a little more accuracy from what we've talked about in the past. So please stick with us. We're going to finish this up and continue in Ephesians. This is Dan Sheridan with Cross and Throne Ministries, and you can go to our website, crossandthrone.com, and download these programs for free. Please do so. Also, you can reach us at 847-312-4676. And our address is P.O. Box 421, Round Lake, Illinois, 60073. Again, P.O. Box 421, Round Lake, Illinois, 60073. Until next time, remember this: the closer you draw near to Christ, the less religious and ceremonial you will be.